You know, I regret not recording that intro because now no one's ever going to hear it. But hello, welcome to the Home for Anime. I am your host, GPC, Great Podcaster Cali. Except today I'm not the host. I am actually being convinced by Ryan. Ryan's going to try and convince me to read slash watch something that I've been very hesitant to watch or read for a while. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. And I hope you're ready to be not doing well. Because I am here to convince you to ingest Berserk. And it's not for the faint of heart. I'll just put it that way.
You're off to a terrible start.
I know. But I have to preface it like this. You know, I want to heavily stress, like, some terrible stuff happens. And when there's some media out there where you see that it's 18 plus and you kind of roll your eyes, like, you know, someone who's 17, 16, they could probably watch this movie and be all right. Right. Or play this video game that's marked as M because it's not that bad. Maybe that's due to the fact that we've been desensitized so heavily with real and non-real media. I think many things could be kind of pushed to the side as, okay, that may or may not deserve the mature audiences only tag. This, however, is a non-negotiable. I think anyone under the age of 18, and honestly, I would be much more comfortable if it was like 20 for a little bit more mature minds, honestly. Because it's some pretty disturbing stuff. And there's a lot of sexual violence. There's a lot of combat violence. The fights are gruesome and honestly repulsive in some points. But I'm here to convince you. I wanted to get all that kind of prefaced in the front.
As soon as you said ingest and berserk, I'm like, I don't know. I don't. So I am ready. I am ready to be convinced.
Okay.
I should also point out that I am afraid of horses.
Well, you might want to skip a few bits here and there. Then there are notorious. I think you could maybe read with one eye open if that would make you more comfortable.
Okay. All right. Oh no.
Kind of like how people will like kind of cover their face during horror movies. I think that could do the same thing for you.
Okay.
So Berserk is a manga, and it also was adapted into a trilogy of films. We'll get to that later. But it's got, as far as I know, 54 current volumes, all of which are being sold in a deluxe edition, which is the type that I have just for the sake of space. A number of copies, but it's about a main character named Guts, which is basically a berserker character. He's a weapon of war, basically. He's used as a tool to destroy whoever he's working for's enemies. And sometimes he's working for people, sometimes he's working for himself. Guts has an extreme desire for challenge. So whenever he encounters enemies, most of the time he's got a pretty cocky attitude toward them, unless they can actually provide a challenge to him, which honestly is few and far between. There's cases where he's taken down a troop of 100 guys, 100 warriors just by himself, and that kind of builds his reputation, and he lives for that. Like, that is his purpose. That's his dream, is to be the guy who cannot be challenged. And as soon as he overcomes a major challenge, he's looking for the next one. Like, before he's even healed up from his wounds, he is driven by this pretty much violence. So he's a pretty interesting character. And the second half, I'm only going to talk about stuff in the Golden Age arc, which I think is the most famous because it's covered in the trilogy films and it's a very memorable and huge part of the manga. And it's pretty much the first thing that you read into. Guts is traveling during the Golden Age with Griffith and the Band of the Hawk. And this is basically a band of ragtag fighters that follow Griffith because he's so charismatic. He's a natural born leader, and he's got this unmatched confidence. Not in the same way that Guts does. He's definitely more of a people person than Guts is. Guts is there to fight, and Griffith is there to lead.
So would you say he's like his sword?
Absolutely. Yeah, so he's kind of like a hired hand. I don't think that Guts is necessarily in this for the money at all. Like I said, violence is his prerogative. But he is the right-hand man, or at least he becomes the right-hand man of Griffith over the course of the Golden Age. And that's just due to his unseen fighting power. The first day that Griffith and Guts meet, Guts is not having any of it. He does not want anything to do with joining a band or anything. But Griffith is so intent on getting Guts to join the Band of the Hawk that he literally says to him, "You are mine. I want you." And Guts is a little taken aback by this, and he says, "Okay, you know what? If you can challenge me, if you can provide what I look for on the daily, and you can actually give me a good fight, sure, I'll join your band." And that's how it happened. Griffith was an excellent fighter. He matched Guts on a lot of levels. Where Guts did not have speed, Griffith made up for it and basically overtook him without, you know, wounding him too bad. So that's how Guts gets roped into the Band of the Hawk. It's kind of like an IOU, almost like they've made a bet, basically. If you can face me and make me think that you're worthy of working for, then I will do it.
Okay.
And they travel. The Band of the Hawk travels, and pretty much it's hard to tell if they fight for the good in all cases. I don't necessarily think Guts or Griffith are like an anti-hero in the early Golden Age. They seem to be helping people who are in need, and they eventually get into a Midland army, which is the kingdom that is struggling in this 100-year war. And a lot of the first act is them just fighting together, and they build this sense of camaraderie that you can't help but just adore. In between the moments of darkness, despair, horrific events, and terrible imagery, you have this pleasant mix of them sitting around the campfire and talking like normal people. And what really highlights the positives of this series are those moments mixed in with the just dreadful, struggling thoughts is moments of peace and friendship. And it kind of takes you by surprise because it hasn't been like that. And it rarely is like that. So when it happens, you kind of get shocked, and even Guts reacts this way. He shares the reader's same feelings. He kind of steps back and he's like, "Wait a minute. Do I enjoy being here?" Like, he's usually a lone wolf, but he thinks to himself, "Okay, maybe I have found a place to belong."
How much of the story is this Golden Age arc?
I think the Golden Age lasts till chapter 90 or so. It's a big, beefy portion of the story, and still, I'm nearing the end of, or at least catching up to where the story is today. And I still think the Golden Age is the most memorable to me.
And I've seen a good few memes, so I understand that Guts and Griffith's relationship kind of goes south.
Yes.
And is that the end of the Golden Age arc? I understand that's the part that you wanted me to be inducted into.
Yes. So Griffith and Gus have a falling out, you could say. And that is like the understatement of a millennia. things go horribly wrong in a plot twist that I don't think anyone really saw coming. Griffith does kind of come off as a guy that could, you know, have ill intent in the future, but not to the magnitude that you see at the end of Golden Age. He does some awful, awful things to not just Guts, but the rest of the Band of the Hawk too. These people that basically have laid their lives on the line to represent Griffith because he wants a kingdom to itself. His ultimate goal for Griffith is, I want to rule a castle. I want to be a king. I want to be someone important, because he came from, you know, he wants a rags to riches story. He came from a poor family, a no one running around in the alleyways of a small village. So he looks up to these castles and he longs for that status. Everybody else, they want that just because Griffith wants it.
So you could say that's where his charisma shows.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's magnetic. He will find even children, which is a pretty controversial thing to do, but it, you know, this being during medieval times, if a kid ran away from their family, Griffith finds them and says, I can make a warrior out of you. I can give you something to live for. They do it. They grasp onto that hope in the depths of despair and desperateness. So he will recruit all sorts of people, young, old, and many, many, many of the members of the Band of the Hawk pass. They die in violent, terrible ways. And there's even imagery that shows, you know, a castle up on a hill, if you can imagine it, surrounded by darkness, and the thing that is getting Griffith to that castle is a pile of dead bodies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he is not wasting, but he is using human lives and people as a method of getting to this crown. It's pretty awful.
Now, is this one of those things where we kind of understand that Griffith isn't what he's meant to do, but we still follow him through the Golden Age, kind of like we're rooting for him?
Or... Absolutely. But, yes, and absolutely.
And this is foreshadowed?
It is foreshadowed, but it's foreshadowed in a way to where you would not... A second read through, you'd probably pick up on it, you know, a lot better. But your first read through, I think you could see that he is going to do some bad stuff. And he's got this artifact, this beheret, whatever you want to call it, around his neck. It's like a necklace of the egg of the emperor. And his is special because it's crimson in color. This is what allows him to have pretty much unlimited power, but you don't know that when it's introduced. You only know that at the end of the Golden Age. And I won't say what it does or what happens, but that is the method of foreshadowing. And that's almost, if I'm remembering right, it's been a while since I've read the Golden Age, but I think that's like the main thing that would foreshadow Griffith's betrayal.
And Ryan, you've read how many chapters?
Let's see. I've got the book I'm working on now next to me. This is volume, hold on. These books are huge. This is volume 33. Let me look up what chapter that is. Where do I find the chapters of that?
Are they not in your book?
No, they don't have chapter numbers. They have volume numbers. The original ones have the chapters.
Well, I guess you could just tell me, how many volumes have you read, individual volumes?
So I am on volume 33 of 42. Or sorry. Yeah, 42.
And you started this in December?
Yeah. Yeah, and I have pretty much been reading it as much as I can in my free time.
So from what I've seen, and maybe this, I'm not going to speak so much to a generalization of your taste, but you are very much into, say, Lovecraftian horror. Horror in general, like you said earlier, that body horror really does nothing to you. Like it doesn't necessarily faze you, though you have admitted that this is particularly harsh. But would you say that the violence is the driving factor that keeps you coming back to it? Because at the end of the day, I mean, the story is called Berserk. The main character's name is Guts, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Is that what you would say makes Berserk as special as it is, or is it the art or the character writing? I mean, I know you only talk about the Golden Age, and we've really only discussed Guts and Griffith, who, I mean, I hear a lot about Griffith. I know next to nothing about him other than the fact that he has white hair.
Yes.
Very, very pretty man.
He is. Yeah, he is. I think that also plays into his charisma.
But what would you say is what brings you coming? What would you say makes you come back to Berserk every? Because we're recording this in February, so you've been reading for 2 months. What would you say brings you back to Berserk every time?
I think the violence is a large part of that, and like you said, like Eldritch and Lovecraftian horror is my favorite genre of all time. I like horror in general, but that is standalone the best to me. When I step back and I look at it, you know, the manga is labeled as a horror. It's in the horror genre. To me, I see it more as dark fantasy with some horror elements. Like there are, don't get me wrong, I may be steeled of mind when it comes to like gruesomeness and disturbing stuff, but there are still moments where I'm reading this and I will be like, that is insane. And that terrifies me. Thinking of putting yourself in some of these situations is actually quite scary.
And you would say that there are some mythical or magical elements to this, something that, how would you say that, how far would you say your suspension of disbelief is for this? Where, is there ever a point where you're just like, this is completely outlandish, this removes me from the story? Or is it all just so, is it such controlled chaos that you can just manage it regardless?
I think it is more on the controlled chaos side. There are things that are extremely outlandish in the story, such as scale is a big thing in Berserk. How large some enemies can be, some of the architecture is like incredibly large and like almost inhumanly, it's just impossible, some of these things. But that's part of the draw for me too, along with horror, I want to see stuff that is outside of what we would consider like a normal realm, unimaginable things. From the character design, the monster design especially, is it's indescribable. You have appendages that come out of every which way on some of these monsters. Some of them are humanoid in nature, others are closer to what I can only describe as like a huge ogre or a tiger in some cases. But they're like, that is only like next to that's like the most similar thing I can compare it to. None of them are of this world or, you know, easily related to some sort of animal or something that we would see even in sci-fi movies. So the designs of the enemies especially, I think, is extremely interesting to me, because I find myself wondering, you know, who could even think of this, right? How do you sit down and I know people do it every day, but for me, being like a mechanical engineer, I do stuff that I can see and I've seen before and people will see, and it's just normal. But these things are designed in a way that you're like, how did you even come up with this? And almost every panel feels like that.
So you could say that the art is very precise, like every minute detail, just it really matters. It really makes a huge impact on the story.
I would say absolutely, because I've spent so long reading these, not just because there's a lot of content, but I try to remind myself a lot, even though I'm on the fence about it, because I want to breeze through the story. I want to know how it ends. I want to see what happens next, right? Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, you want to appreciate the art that goes into each of these panels.
Okay. So then definitely just take the story as it is. And you would recommend just going straight manga. You wouldn't recommend the anime or anything like that.
Absolutely. It's funny you say that. I was at Topgolf the other day, and I'm wearing a jacket with Berserk, the Berserk logo, Guts, and Griffith on it. And this gentleman that was basically assigned to our slot there, he was like, hey, cool jacket. You know, where'd you get it? I told him online, and he asked what anime it was, and I told him Berserk. And he said, man, I've been meaning to watch that. You know, I can't wait. That's been on my list for a long time. And I said, bro, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't watch it. I said, save yourself. Just read it. Just read it first. And then you can watch it. If you're interested, go watch it. But read it first. And I told him the same thing that I would tell anybody who's trying to maybe try it out or new to manga, because I didn't know whether or not I'd like this. I bought volume one of the deluxe edition of Berserk. I told him, get that. It's a very nice, the paper's awesome. It's a hardbound book. It looks awesome on a shelf. Try that out. And if you don't like it, return it. Get it from Amazon, return it. Get it from Barnes & Noble, return it. And that's that, right? Just brush it off your shoulders, go on with your life. But I told him, if you read volume one, you'll be hooked. You'll be buying volume two and three very soon.
Okay. Well, do you have anything else that you would like to say about Berserk?
I think it's worth mentioning that it's not all doom and gloom, and not just meaning in a friendship way. There are characters that are there for comic relief.
That's actually really good to know.
Yeah, so that also helps with the story being a little bit more digestible. Usually it's a little elf named Puck. He basically transforms shapes and stuff throughout the panels to kind of mimic what's going on in the story. And there can be something absolutely horrendous happening, like a huge, massive fight or stuff that I don't even want to say on here, and Puck will be like making fun of it. And he'll like, he'll break the fourth wall. He'll do all sorts of weird stuff. So he's there to kind of like lighten the load of what the Berserk story is. I just wanted to also add that in there. So it's not all doom and gloom.
Okay. All right. Well, Ryan, I will be perfectly honest with you. And you've succeeded in something that no anime fan has ever been able to do. I think I actually want to read the first volume of Berserk.
All you got to do is give it a try. Like I said, you know, you can try it out from Barnes and Noble. Sit down, spend an evening or a weekend with it, whatever you need. And if you don't like it, take it back.
All right. I think I will. Well, maybe I'll just read online because I'm cheap.
Or that too.
I'm cheap. Yeah. So
that works.
But no, definitely. I think I will. I think I'm going to give Berserk a shot. And if I am mentally scarred, then I'll just send you my therapy invoice.
Please do. I would actually love it because we could talk about it. I've like purposely not told you any details of the story outside of what we discussed today.
Yeah. Actually, for those of you listening, Ryan and I, we actually talk on the phone like 2 to 3 times every week. And he has consistently told me how good Berserk is, but he actually has held off for the purpose of this episode. He has not told me anything. And you actually have not given a whole lot during this episode. You are wonderful at this. You wonderful, wonderful convincer.
I tried my best. And if you decide to read it, then Godspeed. Good luck.
Okay. That's deterring me a little bit, but I'm still going to do it.
You'll do great.
Well, Ryan, I'd like to thank you so much for being the first person to convince me to watch Berserk. Or, excuse me, Ryan, I would like to thank you so much for being the first person to convince me to read Berserk and potentially watch it.
Absolutely.
Bravo is all I can say. Bravo. Thank you so much for coming on. Ryan, if the people want to follow you, where can they do that?
Find me on Instagram at no.i.deer. And that's pretty much my only social that I use.
Gotcha. Well, it's definitely worth a follow. And on top of that, Ryan sent some very funny memes. And if you want to follow me, you can do so on Instagram at AnimeAlphaGoat. And the brand new-ish YouTube channel On a Whim.
Let's go.
But with all of that, Ryan, thank you again. And honestly, since you've done this episode, do you want to do the honors of saying the exit words?
Oh, yes. Before that, I have one other phrase to say.
What's that?
No guts, no glory.
I thought you were going to say with... Griffith.
And with that, we... are out.
Oh, that was so smooth.